Bailbon, Weaver's Gold, Black Rock, Galway Hooker, Copper Coast, Golden Otter, Rebel Red, Scullion's Irish, Oyster Stout, Clotworthy Dubbin, Bee's Endeavour, Sanity Clause. It's a long way from when a pint of plain was your only man. Because those names are the names of beers from microbreweries from all over Ireland, the newest one being the Dungarvan Brewing Company that opened over the summer. It's all good news. But not so good news is that the hops used by these breweries will all be imported from abroad. Growing hops in Irish soil is a tradition that died out a decade ago. And to hear more about that, I'm joined by Ella McSweeney. Ella, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, what is hops? And it is a singular, is it?
I have to plead complete ignorance in this whole area. I mean, as someone who has spent their adult life quite happily guzzling beer and all the rest, I never really understood what hops was before. The hop plant is the hop plant. The hops are the female part of the plant. Only they're what's called dioecious. They're male and female plants. Only the females, when it comes to brewing, are useful. And it all goes back a very long way when beer was made, but it a bit like fruit, it just decayed very quickly. And the hops was there to preserve the beer. It's certainly, within ancient Ireland, beer has been referenced quite a lot, but hops really were never used until quite recently in Ireland. Not when you think about somewhere like Germany, which it was used from 900 AD, rather.
Yeah, I think you can use, and we probably did use seaweed in our beer.
And honey.
To clarify, yeah. and various things like that. Anyway, we don't grow hops anymore in Ireland, but you found one brewery that might be using Irish hops.
We don't. I mean, it's sad. Back in the 1930s, there would have been quite a lot of hops grown around the Kilkenny, Tipperary, East Cork area with good land where it's dry. I mean, the thing about hops is they're very, very difficult to grow. The nearest I can think of when I look at a field of hops is vines, but they're called bines instead. And in fact, I brought some in for you to have a look at, and that's okay. Them there.
Very like a grapevine, except that instead of little berries at the end, as in the grape, you have, it's almost like, how would you describe
it? It's a pine cone.
It's a soft pine cone.
It's a soft pine cone. And as you'll hear,
and it's tinier. I mean, it's about the size of your thumbnail. Thumb. Yeah.
That's it, exactly. Right. And traditionally was used to preserve. And then people realise, actually, we quite like this bitter taste. So when you think about beer and you think about bitter, that's all about the hops. Now, there is one man in Ireland. Well, there's actually two. Rupert Hugh Jones down in Cork is growing a small amount of hops plants. But Coolon Lochnan of White Gypsy Microbrewery in Tipperary has taken it on board to make a pint of beer with raw ingredients that are 100% grown from Ireland. And he has grown 400 hop plants. So I went down to have a look.
Oh, here they are, Ella. These are our hops that we planted back in April of this year. As you can see, they're all in rows there. There's 400 plants. We've got about 10 rows going across. These are dwarf hops, actually.
They're dwarf because I'm standing right beside one of them here and it's about 2 feet higher than
Well, the real hops grow to about 17 feet in height.
Do they?
Yeah.
Right.
And unfortunately, like, we didn't have the facilities here, the machinery to put down the poles and to pick them afterwards, so we decided to go for the dwarf varieties, you know.
It's a skilled technique, though, isn't it, to grow hops?
It is a very skilled technique, but we have to learn these things as we go along, you know. And the important thing here is to be able to show people what hops actually are. We break open the centre of the hop, there is a yellow, or very small seed-like substance called lupulin.
And it looks like pollen.
Looks like pollen, exactly. And inside that, there is oil and resin. And it's that oil that creates the bitterness in the beer. And that's what the brewer is after.
So to be clear, on the plants are these incredible cones. You pull off a cone, you open the cone, there's a bit of dust in there, yellow dust. In the yellow dust is an oil. That's what you're after.
That's what we're after. That's what creates the bitterness in the beer. We actually put this into the beer at the beginning of the boil, and it takes about 60 minutes for the oil to actually dissolve into the beer. But that's what creates the bitterness. And it also has a preservative quality. The more hops you put into a beer, the bitter it becomes, but also the longer it will last.
And do you pick them all by hand?
We're just going to pick these by hands. And the usual process then would be that you would dry the hops to preserve them for the winter. But we're not going to do that. We're going to actually brew a beer for a couple of days on the trot, and then we will come out here, pick the hops and put them straight into the beer, so we'll have a fresh hop ale.
How much beer will all this make?
We would get, I'd say, about 100 kilos of dried weight hops here.
To me in bottles.
Bottles. That would give me, I suppose, the ones of 100,000 bottles of beer.
These plants would?
These plants will. You know,
it's incredible.
It's incredible, yeah. So you can see from a small acreage like this, you get a huge amount of volume in terms of hops. But of course, it depends on the year. They say about wine that, you know, you have different years, you have different qualities. You go to a winery in Spain or France and you walk out the back of the guy's winery and there's his winery. You know, you come out the back of a brewery and sometimes there's nothing. But here we have our hops. And, you know, depending on the year that we had, will depend on the quality and the aromas and the flavours. So every year we'll produce a vintage beer using our own crops, but that will have totally dependent on the weather that produced them.
So Cúlann Lough Nan will be the only person producing a 100% Irish beer in this country.
The only person. There are no hops in Ireland, apart from what Cúlann is doing. So he's the only person who'll be using hops from Ireland. Guinness has hops from all over the world, not Ireland, and increasingly barley from not Ireland too.
Now, when did hops growing in Ireland or hop growing in Ireland die out as a commercial concern?
Well, you know, they are very, very difficult. They are, if you like, the Victoria Beckham of plants. They need a lot of attention and pampering. And there's an old rhyme, it says, first the flea, then the fly, then the mould, then they die. And that's kind of the trajectory of hops, unless you're very, very careful. They really fell down in the 1930s because of the climate. They came back again in the 1960s. And it was really in Kilkenny, with the good land and the good climate there, that four people got together on advice of an agricultural advisor and they decided to grow hops for the Guinness Brewery. And one of them was Simon Moss's father from the Moss dynasty down there. Simon is Nicholas Moss's cousin, the potter. And he had three farms of hops and he was the last commercial farmer. He is the last commercial farmer in Ireland because a decade ago he finished it. I went down to have a look at his where his hops used to grow on his farm in Kilkenny, right beside Bennett's Bridge.
This is roughly the centre of the farm. All the way in was hops. This was the hop field and the field next door there. All this area was hops. Everything. In this farm, there were 38 acres of hops.
How many plants is that?
About 130,000 plants.
130,000 hop plants?
Yeah.
It's no wonder you had to employ 94 people at harvest time.
Yeah, well, it just shows you where the miles of string went.
So presumably 15, 20 years ago, if we were here then, this field would have been full of people picking.
About 18 people was in the field crew, which brought hops in. 10 at least on the machine, probably more, and 3 in the drying. There was 3 farms, so that's all multiplied by 3.
So a big community of people.
Yeah.
What made your father look at hops as something that he should start to grow on his 3 farms?
A horticultural advisor for the area. He was trying to get hops started to be grown again. And there was 4 people. There was my father, my cousin, Edgar Calderpots, and Captain Tupper. The head brewer, I remember the head brewer from Guinness used to come down and he would complain about anything and everything on the growing. And his pride and joy was the quality of what he produced.
What was the final thing that made you realise that growing hops was not a game you wanted to be in?
Breweries became so big, and if they bought cheap, they saved millions. I couldn't justify the investment or the risk to stay going.
Was the price that you were getting from Guinness reducing all the time?
The biggest price I ever got for hops was in 1984, and ever after, it just collapsed down and then never rose again, really. So it wasn't that hops couldn't be grown in this country, but that they couldn't be grown any longer economically in this country, yeah.
What would it take for the tradition of growing hops in Ireland to be rejuvenated?
Hops for a microbrewery, because you could go very traditional back into handpicking and all that end of it, yeah, that's possible. I don't think it's possible on a commercial scale, because I don't think that the big brewers are anyway interested.
Interesting that the head brewer used to come down, a man who took pride in what he was producing. But then he stopped coming down, and who did come down?
The head financial guy. Well, he didn't even come down. He just made, or she made, the decision. And I think that's fair enough. You know, big business, and that's what they have to do. The head brewer felt a huge responsibility and all that
he wanted the best for his brew.
Wanted the best and loved the process. And as Simon mentioned to me, he said the personal was gone after that, and it didn't make any sense. And
well,
you know,
what's Simon doing with the land now, by the way?
Well, he's still growing in lines. He's growing apples. And it's interesting even just hearing him talk about the 94 people at harvest that he employed and the hand labour and the social impact of that. And in fact, Pat, he even mentioned that your lovely wife at one stage was hired.
That's right. As a child, she used to... Child labour.
When she was 18, he said she was fantastic. But, you know, the students used to come down just before the college started, and it was a good source of local employment.
Yeah. Now, the microbrewery thing, he mentioned there was a possibility there that there could be hop growing again, but on a much smaller scale, and making a virtue of the fact that this is a traditional way of picking the crop and making the beer.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, I suppose, we want consistency. When I go to a pub, I want to have a pint of Guinness that I had, you know, last week. But, you know, the point that the Coulon made, which is when you go into vineyards, you have certain years that are particularly good and certain years that aren't so good. And that's the kind of model that microbreweries would like. Also, county-specific tastes, and hops will absorb the taste of the climate, of the soil that they're in. So Coulon's aim then is to, in a week's time, he will be harvesting these hops and he is going to make this pint of beer. He took me into his cold room and gave me a taste of something, the taste that he's going for this 100% Irish beer.
So I'll take you into the cold room here, and we have some beers in conditioning tank here, and I'll just show you what it is we're talking about.
This is like a deep freeze.
Yeah, all the tanks in here, everything is held in here at 2 degrees.
Huge metal containers here with these big handles in the front of them.
Yeah, so I'll just open the valve here, we take a sample out of it.
Straight into the pint glass, look
straight
at that, gorgeous.
Glass.
And that's a chocolatey, caramelly colour.
Colour, yeah. It's a typical Irish ale.
The smell is gorgeous.
Nice dark colour. So you get the aroma, you swirl the glass.
Oh, that's gorgeous, isn't
yeah,
it? That's like a cake.
You get the nice fruity flavours. We use a little bit of chocolate malt, just a very small fraction in it, so you get the aroma.
You're taking a mouthful there.
You can taste it. But you get the lovely flavour.
Oh, that's lovely.
And that beer is not carbonated at all. There's no CO2 in it.
So that's flat.
It's flat. Mm. You'll drink 3 or 4 of these and your mouth gets full of flavour. It's like trying to drink a lot of wine. You can't do it. Your just mouth fills up with flavour.
Where are the ingredients from what we've just drunk? Where are they from?
Because this is an ale, the majority of the ingredients will come from the UK.
So your money is going to English farmers?
Yes. I'd love if it was the other way around, but I have no choice. I have to make beer.
Why does it matter to you to find a way to produce a pint of beer that's grown 100% from Irish soil?
Why not? 80 years ago in this country, we had a fantastic brewing industry. It made the world famous. We had breweries in every town. We had farmers producing malt. We had farmers growing hops. We had variety in every single town. You could go to a different town, drink a different beer, depending on the style of water, depending on where you were from. That's completely disappeared. We have to actually go back 80 years in our history to start moving forward again, to create more choice. I mean, we have one small brewery in Templemore here. There could be a brewery in the next town in Torrance. There could be a brewery in the next town in Roscrea. All feeding, producing locally brewed beers with local ingredients. It would be a fantastic journey around the country, tasting the beers that you had maybe in Clonmel last night. Oh, they do this wonderful porter. That's the choice and the variety that is out there.
And that's the kind of thing you can do in Belgium, you can do it in Germany, you can do it in...
Big in Germany, yeah. Very big in Germany.
Now, you poured a little of the beer.
I brought you a taste because I thought last week with the packet and tripe, I didn't bring any in for you, so I brought you a little bottle of Coulon's beer. And as you can smell, it smells, it sort of hits your nose if you put your nose into it, a bit like wine. It's flat, but it's lovely. I mean, it's a beautiful caramel.
It reminds me a bit
colour.
Of... Smithwick's made a brew for export, La Vraie Irlandaise was
Ooh.
What they called it. And it's St. Killian, I think they call it. And it's very like it. It's a gorgeous beer.
Yeah,
it's flat. And I could see the argument that you might have a couple of pints of that. And I've had enough, thank you very much.
That's it, exactly. And it's, I mean, certainly for me, it sort of hits my mouth in different parts that certainly other beers don't.
More on hops, including photos, additional audio clips and video, can be found on facebook.com/RTHomegrown and also on twitter.com/RTHomegrown. And Ella, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank
and
you,
this
Pat.
Was an independent production from...
Athena.
We'll take a break.